You know, I'd like to say that was me, and it used to be me. So when I was in school, that was what I used to do. But this year, I just haven't got into it. I just, yeah. Was that yes? Yeah. Anyone else?
I don't know.
What was that?
Channel 9.
Yeah, Naomi's blaming Channel 9. I like to blame Channel 9 too. Although, has anyone noticed, I don't know if you've read that, I've been reading the paper a little bit, and they always seem to be bagging out our athletes, right? Like, that's, you know, that's not the spirit of the Olympics. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I've seen some negative stuff in the paper about our athletes, but I thought I'd tell you about one of the good things. Has anyone heard of the Irish gymnast?
Yeah.
It's not a racist joke. Yeah, okay. So, there he is up there. His name's Kieran Behan. And Kieran's 23 years old. He's competed in the Olympics. He did pretty well. But the story behind Kieran is that when he was 10, he had an operation on his leg, and they basically removed a tumour from it. And he was literally wheelchair-bound at 10 years old. And they didn't really think he could do much again in terms of exercise and stuff. And then he gets super fit, and then he starts doing gymnastics. And then he gets really good at gymnastics. And then he's on the high bars. Did you guys know that one? The two bars? Yeah. He's on the top bar doing some crazy handstand thing. His hand slips. He hits his head on the way down and gets full-on brain damage and is actually confined to a wheelchair again. And then they said, you know, look, you know, he had to teach himself how to eat, how to speak, how to walk, how to run. And now he's 23. He's like a year older than me and he's competing in the Olympics. I just think it's amazing. What he's achieved is incredible. And I guess one of the things about the Olympics that I noticed is that Olympics really highlights achievement. Would you guys agree with that? Like, you get to see lots of people achieving amazing stuff. But I don't reckon it's the only place where we see achievement. And that'll probably be explained a little bit by the next video.
New South Wales nominee Jermaine King lives on Sydney's North Shore and attends Hilford Girls Grammar.
Do you remember that haircut? And it was like so shopping centre.
My full name is Jermaine Louise King. I'm 16 years old. I'm an Aries.
The boy thinks she's really hot.
Yeah, I have a few admirers, yes.
Yeah, one by the name of Aaron.
Shut up.
Sorry. Tell them about the karaoke at Mel's Club.
I'm so not talking about that. No way. Sports captain this year. House captain last year. I've got swimming, netball, hockey colours. I just finished in the school play. I was Maria in West Side Story. Yep.
It was really good. It was really good.
Thank you. I was a finalist for Dolly Cover Goal of the Year.
She should have won.
Going for school captain next year, probably going to get it. Got ducks last year, probably getting ducks this year. Yeah. Like, seriously, I probably will still
She's
get it.
She's basically good at everything.
I'm dating Divi. I'm so not good at everything.
You are.
I'm not good at everything,
yes,
seriously.
Yeah, you know it.
I'm not. Like, ancient, I'm coming, like, third, which is, like, oh, my God, for me.
All right. Everyone loves a bit of Jermaine. Well, tonight I'd like to suggest that lots of our lives, but primarily we're going to focus on school, is actually centered around achievement. I've got this theory that schools are set up around achievement. Let's have a think about this. If you're good at academics at school, right, you get good marks and you get rewarded for being good at it. If you're good at sport at school, again, you get rewarded for being good at sport. If you're good at music, similar kind of deal. Everyone would know you're good at music. If you're popular at school, again, you get rewarded for being popular. At my school, to be in the popular group, you had to be really good in the looks department. So I was a bit of a struggle in that area. But that was kind of, you know, what made being popular at my school. And people wanted to achieve it. People seriously cared about how they look. People still do. We all do. But particularly at school, and it was like, you know, we wore uniforms, but everyone found out a way to wear the uniform slightly different. And, you know, it was just a big deal. That's kind of the way it worked. And I guess we all, when we think about it, we all like to achieve different things, right? But that might be social standing. It might be grades at school. It might even be a number of Facebook friends, wins in sport, exams in music, levels in video games, we all, Adam, you like that one? We all like to achieve different things. But I actually think there's a problem with this. And the problem is that achievement across a whole range of things is actually impossible. Because you can't be good at everything. And some of us might actually feel like we're actually not good at anything. So therefore, if achievement is the only thing that we aim for, it's the only thing on our radar, then it can be quite damaging. And the society that we're living in focuses a huge amount on achievement, on what you're good at. So tonight's big question, right? The question that I want to get you guys thinking about tonight is what motivates our achievement? What drives us to achieve? Do we want to achieve just to get to the next stage of our lives, the next big thing, so that we can achieve again? I'll give you a bit of my story. When I was in year 12, a lot of people, you know, ask the question, and you've probably heard this too, you know, oh, what do you want to do when you finish school? Or what subjects are you going to do? So year 12, the big question is, what are you going to do when you finish school? And, you know, I'd kind of say what I was thinking. And then I get to uni, which is what I did after finishing school. And day one of uni, I think I was at a function that evening, and someone came up to me and they said, oh, so you're at uni? It's like, yes. And they're like, oh, what do you want to do when you finish your degree? Day one. I hadn't even been there for a week yet, and that was happening. And it's like this kind of desire, because the problem with achievement is that there's always something else we can achieve, right? So if it's in, say a footy, right? So you win a game at footy, that's what you're aiming to achieve. And then, okay, you win a couple of games, then you're trying to win the premiership or get promoted to the team above your team. Or even take, let's say, music, right? So you do your grade 3 exam on piano and, hey, next year's grade 4. And now you've suddenly got another thing to try and achieve, right? So it goes on and on. Achievement's not a bad thing. But as you can see, we've got to have something underlying it, right? Some sort of motivation other than just achieving. Because if we don't, it can be quite damaging. And as followers of Jesus, which some of us here are at Wipeout, we need to put achievement in context. So to begin that, we're going to have a look at a Bible passage. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 to 11. That hasn't come up too big on the screen, so I'll read it out to you. And it's basically this guy called Paul, who he, in terms of, like, just think, you know, olden days, back when the Bible was written, he achieved everything he could possibly want before becoming a Christian. So Paul's main game was being like a religious leader before he became a Christian, and he got to the top of that game. Let me read for you. He goes, you know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting the church, a meticulous, which means like really thorough, observer of everything set down in God's law book. The officials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the garbage, along with everything else that I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Jesus. Yes, all these things I once thought were so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus as my master. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog poo. I've dumped it all in the bin so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Jesus, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Jesus personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. Right, so that's our passage tonight. And Paul gets pretty animated. And what we're going to do is we're going to take that passage and split it into two parts and look at two ideas. So you can see there that Paul is kind of critical of the things that he achieved. So the first thing is that we're going to look at is why achievement may be a bad thing. And the second part is we're going to look at God's solution to achievement, which is what that passage finished up by saying. So let's start at the start. Let's look at achievement as a potential bad thing. Now, let's get one thing clear, right? Achievement by itself is not a bad thing, right? But what we're looking at is what our motivation is behind that. So my life at school, well, I reckon we're all a little bit like Jamie at Summer Heights High, but I was probably a little bit more like Jamie than others. My school pocket looked a bit like a traffic light when I finished. And here's the thing, right? My achievement at school did not make me a better person than anyone else. Not in my eyes, not in God's eyes, and hopefully not in anyone else's eyes. Our achievement does not make us a better or worse person. Why? Because our value doesn't come from achievement. Achievement is good, but it doesn't fully satisfy. It does not make you a better or a worse person. So as a Christian, I reckon there's two dangers with achievement. And the first one is consuming our identity. Right? Achieving things does feel good. So if you see, you know, guys up on the gold medal in the Olympics, I'm pretty sure that they're crying happy tears, right? They're not sad, are they? No? Yeah? They're really enjoying the experience. So achievement does make us feel good. But as any athlete will tell you, particularly some of the older athletes, you can't be at the top of your game forever. Right? You know, people just get faster, smarter, younger, better looking, stronger, all that kind of stuff. And this is where we've got to be aware of a couple of dangerous cycles. Because if we get our identity from achievement, it's a short-term solution to who we are. So this is the danger. If we get our identity from achievement, it's a short-term solution. If our motivation for achieving is just to make us feel good, and that's what the only thing that makes us feel good, to give us identity, then it can actually become a problem. But also, for those that don't achieve, right, then we can still make achievement an idol. We can still have it as part of our identity, because if we don't achieve, so say we're not good at marks, or we can't really catch a ball that well, or we're by ourselves at lunch, again, our identity is going to be pretty struggle street because we're not achieving. So whether we achieve or whether we don't achieve, achievement can consume our identity, and we've got to be careful of that. The second danger is that achievement can actually stop us from following Jesus and making tough decisions for him. Why is that? Because God views achievement differently to the way that the world around us views achievement, right? There's different priorities. So for God, he says things like, blessed are the poor, the meek, the hungry, the persecuted, those who cop it for their faith for me. Blessed are those peacemakers. Jesus tells us to love God and to love other people. The least, the lost, and the lonely, someone once described it to me. Now these values are not necessarily the values that we hear in our world, in the media or in our school. It's not necessarily what the world encourages us to achieve. Right? The Bible doesn't want us to be lazy. It wants us to be the opposite of lazy, really. But it does view achievement differently to media and what we see at school. Let me give an example of this to try and help explain it. I'm a law student at Monash Uni, and as part of my degree, I've done a whole lot of things, but it's kind of led me to a place where I'm thinking about a career either in community law, so legal aid, so helping people that can't afford legal advice, or a career in ministry, right, which is basically working, doing wipeout stuff as a job, which would be pretty cool. So they're kind of my two options, right? But I have the marks, and I might have the intellect, if I wanted to go and become a corporate lawyer. Right, to get a grad job in one of the big firms in the city and kind of work my way up there. Now, the pay would be way better. The way that society views those kind of jobs would go to the corporate all the time, any time, 9 times out of 10. But for me, if I really want to follow Jesus with my with my career, and you know, this is not to say you can't have Christian corporate lawyers. We've got some amazing Christian corporate lawyers, but for me, that's not a path that I feel like God's telling me to take. So at some points, we're going to actually have to sacrifice worldly achievement, achievement as the world sees it, for following Jesus. So for you guys, it might even be like thinking about school. If your friends are giving someone a hard time, you can join in and be accepted in that situation and, you know, pop up the popularity polls. Or you can say, okay, I don't want to do that. Because following Jesus means we're going to act slightly differently. Another one, which will come up a little bit for you guys, particularly in year 9 and as you get older, is that when your mates start getting drunk on the weekend or whatever, right? You might actually have to slide a couple of rungs down the social ladder by not joining in. That's okay. We all have to sacrifice worldly achievement in order to follow Jesus and his teachings. So I guess we spent most of tonight talking about some of the negative aspects of achievement. But the fortunate thing for us is that the Bible has an amazing solution. And it's got the solution essentially goes to the heart of the Christian message. So that's what we're going to focus on just in the last minute or two. So I'm pretty stoked about this solution. So let's have a look at the passage and see what Paul says. It's a bit hard to see there. If we go to the next one. Paul in the passage talks about giving everything up for the high privilege of knowing Jesus as his master. So let's have a think about that, knowing Jesus as his master. Let's put it into context. If we know God's love and acceptance that comes through Jesus, then this knowledge can actually shape our identity. Right, so God's love is absolutely amazing. Nothing on this world can separate us from that love once we accept it. And it's best seen through Jesus, God's Son, hands apart, dying on a cross for us, for me, and for each one of you guys. From God's love, from knowing this love, we can place our identity in Jesus, knowing that the person who loves us the most and the person that knows us the best, God, he thinks that we are amazing. And that his love provided to us will never fail. And the cool thing is that when you're in a relationship with God and you accept him and you put your identity in him, he will actually sustain us. God gives us his Spirit to help us achieve things for him. And this is the place that we can live life from. This is the place where we can achieve. Remembering that if we aren't successful at school, if we're not the head of the popular group, if we're not the winner of the best on ground in footy, God would still love us just as much as if we topped the class, if we won the best and fairest, if we were the most popular guy in school. You see, God has actually done the achieving. He's achieved everything he needed to through Jesus so that we can have our identity in him and have a relationship with him. So first is our identity with God. That's the first thing to think about. And the second thing is what we do with it from there, right? So in terms of our motivation, it's what, you know, our motivation, look at what is our identity and is it in God's love? And from then, we can go and achieve. We can go and do things. You know, being intelligent, getting good marks, being popular, being in sports teams, all that kind of stuff are really, really good things, right? I did them all when I was at school to varying degrees of success. But it's important that our identity is grounded in Jesus' love for us. So what does motivate us? Because it doesn't need to be a constant striving for a gold medal or whatever that may be for each of us. But knowing that we are loved and we are accepted by God, that he has achieved everything that he needed to through Jesus. Everything else is secondary. First is God's love. Now tonight we may have raised some things that might be new to you, or you might have got you thinking a bit, and you know, we want to give you guys at Wipeout an opportunity to respond to this stuff. So I'm going to pray in just a minute, but then we're going to go into discussion groups, and that's a really good time in your year levels to really, get down and work through some of this stuff together. So I really encourage you to really be honest in those groups. And use it as a time to think, you know, what do I do? What do I think about identity? What do I think about God's love? What do I think about achievement? Because some of these things are really big things, but they're really important. So I'm just going to pray for us before we do that. God, we want to thank you so much for your love. God, thank you that you love us exactly the way that we are, God. We don't need to achieve anything for you to love and accept us. God, I ask you to help us to know that love more and more. And God, that our identity would be grounded in that. I want to thank you for these guys at Wipeout, God, and I pray that you would really bless their discussion time. In Jesus' name, amen.